You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon, third day of July 2014. On the phone line is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Headed for Texas today, Dan?
I'm actually in East Texas right now. So I've been on the road most of the day. I went to work early this morning, did a few things, and then decided to head to Texas for the weekend.
How was the drive? See anything interesting?
10 needs to go to 8 lanes instead of 6. It is just terrible. And it's 95 degrees down here and 100% humidity, I think. So when you're talking about 61-degree lows and 79-degree highs, I gotta say, man, I wish I was in Illinois now.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a few times that you do wish you're in Illinois, I suppose.
Don't want to stay long enough to get taxed, though.
Well, yeah, I understand that. Hey, turn your attention to the marketplace for me, because we had beans down again today. They have been on a move down since USDA gave us that double-barreled surprise on USDA report day Monday. Let's see, we are down, what, 94 and a half cents for the, man, we're down 94 and a half cents for the week. That is a long haul, Dan. We didn't make the $1 limit, I suppose, on any day, but not even for the week. Still, that's got to make the chart look really bad to you.
Well, not terrible bad. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Anytime you have a sharp down day like we did there on Monday, that creates a lot of people in the red, so you've got to go through a round of long liquidation in this case, since it was to the downside, and that's kind of what we spent the rest of the week doing. Now, as far as old crop goes, the fine back of 60 million or 65 million, I'm not exactly sure what it was, but it's in that neighborhood. Basically, tells us that our supply-demand balance sheet was not as tight as what USDA had been cranking out over the past several months, with the export sales continuing to climb. So at least this the fineback kind of takes care of the 60 million bushel oversale. But overall, though, the balance sheet is still going to be very tight, and I'm not necessarily sure that the bean market has been totally killed. We'll have to see kind of how things materialize, but it is probably going to result in less soybeans from South America coming into the marketplace. But it pretty well put a nail in the coffin for old crop price strength at this point. Anything in the bean market that is probably going to be driven by new crop, and then, of course, that will have to be related to weather conditions, crop rating levels, you know, we got a lot of late planted beans, so, you know, we could be worried at some point in time about maybe a shortened growing season, since we are in a cooler than normal type pattern here so far this summer.
Well, if the new crop is in the driver's seat, let's see, they blew through the 10, the 20, the 50, and the 100-day moving averages, but the old crop didn't blow through all of those. They didn't blow through either the 50 or the 100. On the other hand, new crops in the driver's seat. Do you see a big push lower at some point in the old crop soybeans then too?
Well, I mean, it's all weather. If the weather stays favorable, and if we meet USDA's, you know, trend line type yield expectations or even exceed them, we're definitely going to have an adequate supply of inventory around by the time the combines roll this fall. But we got to keep in mind, we got a ways to go yet. I know everything has been generally favorable up to this point. I'm not sure USDA's planted numbers are totally on the money, but they are what they are for now. And until we see some changes, that's the way the trade is going to play it. This market, you know, at the moment, you're going to have something come along to really change the balance sheet to really stir up much of a rally. There's always room for you know, a short covering bounce of some kind, maybe generated by a 3 or 4 day heat wave or a ridge that would come in for 4 or 5 days, you could probably get a short covering rally. But you're going to have something to really change the overall production prospects to get anything sustained to the upside. Otherwise, we're going to probably drift lower like we normally do during July. 80% of the time, July, you close lower for the month. And then you begin to maybe level out during August, going through the August crop report and see what things kind of shape up, you know, at that point in time. But it's going to be tough to get this market to do anything but kind of drift in here. The key support on corn, of course, is going to be the $4 level. Whether or not we can hold the $4 level or not, it gets a little scary that we're this low this early, and what could happen to us if we do have a big bumper crop, and then we begin to get hedge pressure during the fall months. I mean, that is what could really put the corn prices down to a level that nobody's going to really like. Nobody likes this $4 price, but as we know, the market will do what it wants to do when it wants to do it. And I suppose short-term wise, you know, I can probably read a move down into the 370s. Maybe that could be met. Maybe it won't be met. I don't know, but I know that's what technicians are going to be talking about. The $3.50 bears that were around last year, they're still here. They're still wanting to take it to 350. The problem the grain trade is going to have is getting the farmer to sell it, unless it's really a big bumper crop. There's been more grain storage been built over the last several years, and the farmers are in a much better financial situation than they have been in the past when we've had big bumper crops. So the farmer is expected to be a fairly tight holder of inventory at these price levels, at least in the short run, and the grain trade needs those inventories, and they're going to, I think, be biting their fingernails to try to get some country movement coming into the pipeline.
So the farmer and their banker are going to be stubborn, aren't they, because they'll have the money to hold on to it in the storage both?
Well, for a while, but we don't raise corn and soybeans to store forever. Now, I do know a few farmers that do that, but you know, for the most part, we raise it to generate revenue and pay bills and make a living at it. But I think the farmer will be a stubborn seller until he knows exactly where he's at. And now, you know, with the crop insurance, a big part of the gain, I suppose now the farmer's going to play for how low is during the month of October and see whether or not he can get an insurance payment of some kind, and then he'll have then maybe he might start letting loose of something like that. But some of my cyclical work would imply that the fall months could be stronger than the summer months, but we'll have to see, you know, how that plays out. I didn't expect the market, as you know, to fall apart this quickly in the growing season, and of course it did, and there's just, you know, it is what it is, and we have to live with it. But actually, I think the November soybean chart has potential yet to put together a summer fall rally. So I haven't totally given up on any kind of price strength. Like I said, we got a long ways to go yet before it's in the bin.
Oh, we'll let you build that case for a summer-fall rally for soybeans during Commodity Week this week. You're a guest on that one. I'll talk to you maybe in 20 minutes, and we'll put that up on the website yet this afternoon. And it'll air, of course, tomorrow during the program. Thanks so much. We do appreciate you being with us. That's Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Actually, in East Texas at this point, headed for Waco, where he now resides.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.